Today's scripture reading is from Amos chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. I'm reading from the New International Version. Hear this word, people of Israel. The word of the Lord has spoken against you, against the whole family I brought up out of Egypt. You only have I chosen of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your sins. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Does a lion roar in a thicket when it has no prey? Does it growl in its den when it has caught nothing? Does a bird swoop down to a trap on the ground when no bait is there? Does a trap spring up from the ground if it has not caught anything? When a trumpet sounds in a city, do not the people tremble? When disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy?
So you may have noticed with the songs that we've been singing, there's a reference to certain characters that we might call prophets. And taking the theme of this last week, of the week of prayer, I thought I'd share with you a little bit of something that I've been reflecting on, something that I'm just sort of studying around with this idea of prophets and prophecy and what's it all about. So why God uses prophets is the question in the title. But I need to ask, have you ever had something, done something, and then you end up with something and you think, what's that for? Maybe you've dismantled something. Anyone taken something apart and then you've put something back together again and then you got some bits left over? You've had the experience, are you sure? What on earth? Where have I gone wrong? Is it important? We start asking ourselves, so we kind of rationalise it a little bit. Is it important? Can we leave it out? What's it there for? I remember a TV programme. And I think it was sort of a word game or something, but something or other in it, they would be given, each team would be given an item, and they would have to look at this item and try and decipher as to what it was and what it's used for. All sorts of weird and wonderful bits. So that's the kind of theme and idea that I want to start with today, is why God uses prophets, but so therefore, prophets, prophecy, what is it there for? What is the relevance? I want to split our time together into two bits. The first bit is the smaller half, and we'll look at principles when reading prophecy. So if I turn this thing on, I might be able to click us through onto a slide. So who are prophets is the is our title. But oh, we've got everything all up in one go. Right, so principle, I'll leave it on the screen so that you can read ahead if you want to. But so principles of reading prophecy. The first thing that we need to do, this is fairly quick fire, this first bit, but the things that we need to do is when we come to reading prophecy, we need to read it in context. So let's not launch open, pull our Bibles open and just start reading and start getting stuck into some of the details. It's good to read, as not just with prophecy, but with anything. It's good to read it in a context. Understand what was going on at the time. What is the details of the story? What's the background? So that it can give you a bit of a run-up to the text that you're actually reading. So, principles of reading prophecy. First of all, read it in context. What's the context of the author? Then, read one thing in light of another. Is there something that I'm reading now that I can look back in Scripture and, oh, that's interesting, that talks about a similar thing. So I put it in simple terms, the New Testament, NT, in light of the OT, Old Testament. So when we read things in the New Testament that we might think of as prophetic, and I'll get on to that bit in a moment, what is prophetic, we look back, we let Scripture interpret Scripture, not just in prophecy, but when we're reading Scripture, we think of the context, we think of Scripture reading, interpreting Scripture. And like a parable, we need to read the whole story. Don't just get bogged down in some of the detail, but read the whole story and look for the main idea. So often we can get, if I can use the parable idea as well, we can read a parable, and then we start ascribing all the little bits of detail as though that's the purpose of the parable. The purpose of a parable, the same with prophecy, is it gives one main specific idea and theme. Otherwise, we get a little bit of a tangle if we start looking at trying to identify every little bit of detail. The next thing to remember in principles of reading the prophecy is affect listener rather than details. That's the in brief that I've put on the bullet point there. Prophecy was given in order to affect people there and then. The hearers at the time were supposed to respond. It was supposed to have meaning. If we transpose that then to us now, when we read, it's not something about, oh, well, this will have meaning later on. This is supposed to have a meaning for you here and now. So we read in context. We read in light of what else has been written. We think about the main ideas and themes, and it's supposed to provoke a response from us. Number five, the now and the not yet. Even Jesus used this idea, and this is maybe what we start to think about. It's easy to think about prophecy as, oh, prophecy is foretelling the future. Well, I'm going to come on to this again in a moment. But generally speaking, prophecy wasn't about the telling of the future. It was about, this is what's happening now, and by the way, let me tell you what is happening later. It's supposed to provoke a reaction and a response now, not just, well, let me tell you about the future, but you don't need to worry about it yet. Respond then. No, the time to respond is now. That was the purpose of the prophecy. The now and the not yet. And just to share with you, lots of commentators, the theologians out there, generally agree that the whole purpose of a prophecy isn't about a distant future event. It's about how that relates to us here and now. Number six, it's sort of reflected in number four, but principles of reading prophecy affect the present rather than predicting the future. So there's sort of a bit of an echo going on here, but the number four is about affecting me now, but number six is about affecting me now because it's about now, not just because it seems to be talking about something in the future. So that was a little bit of a run-up, a little bit of a taster, a little bit of a principles that we need to take when we open our Bibles and when we start reading about prophecy. Now I want to share with you about what is a prophet. Can you tell me what prophecy means and what a prophet is, what it means? where we talk about a prophet, but what does a prophet mean? Okay, I'm going to try and retract that, not retract them, make that even smaller and make that even pointer. That is what a prophet does. So that's actually point number two. A prophet is someone who speaks on behalf of God. Hear the word of the Lord. Boom, this is what I've been told. So therefore, a prophet, I'm trying to make this as simple as possible, but it isn't blatantly obvious, but a prophet isn't someone who talks necessarily about something else in the future. A prophet is, I'm beating around the bush, spit it out, Nathan. A prophet is a proclaimer. If we get a translation of the word prophet, that is as simple as it gets. A prophet is a proclaimer. So point number one is a prophet is a proclaimer. Point number two is a prophet is a proclaimer of a message specifically from God. So we can read in our Bibles, we see references of prophets as people who stand up and say, people, this is the word of the Lord. They are proclaiming and they are bringing a message directly from God. Number three. In fact, let's just dip into that, because a message from God. Let's look at Exodus 20. So grab for your Bibles, Exodus chapter 20, just as an example. And those of us that are familiar with this chapter will know that Exodus 20 is one of the two accounts of the Ten Commandments, so that probably would give us a bit of a clue as to what is happening. That's not clicking. Exodus chapter 20. There may be a reason why I don't often use PowerPoint. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 22. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites this, you have seen for yourselves that I have spoken to you from heaven. And on it goes. So what is my point of emphasis using this verse? Point number two in what is a prophet? A prophet is a proclaimer, and a prophet is someone who brings the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. This is what God has told me to let you know about. That's the workings of a prophet. Number three, how long do you think a prophet could be a prophet? Any guesses? As long as God wants them to be. Let's pick on one of the prophets that we sang about earlier, Daniel. Do you know how long Daniel was a prophet for? His adult life. Yes, adult life, which is what? Well, in my estimation, that's probably roundabout right, because in my estimation, from what we can work out of dates, from when he first started prophesying to at least the last time that we think that he prophesied that is recorded, it was at least 70 years. So some people are called to be a prophet. And what is a prophet? A prophet is a proclaimer of a word of God. Daniel was a proclaimer of the word of the Lord for at least 70 years. But let me get you to turn to a book of Judges. We get another detail about prophets here as well. And while you're turning to Judges, let me also point out that prophets fall in obviously two kind of categories. There are some that we have as what we call writing prophets. These are the prophets that we have now that we have written down. Their proclamation is also recorded. But there are some prophets that were just called by God to say some words, and that was it. And lo and behold, someone else wrote down what they were proclaiming. That's what we're reading here. So Judges chapter 6. If we look at from verse 7, I believe, it says, "Then the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian. He," that is the Lord, "sent them." Yeah, when the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you did not listen to me." A proclaimer? Is this a reference to a proclaimer? And what was her name? Anyone? Or was that a trick question? I don't normally throw in trick questions, do I? What do we know about this proclaimer? When the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he, as the Lord, sent them a prophet who said. What do we know about the prophet? All we know is the next couple of verses of what the proclamation was. So we can't even say this prophet then spoke about this and this and this on different other occasions. So it might well have been a prophet that never spoke and never proclaimed the word of the Lord again. Maybe God calls someone to be a proclaimer for the rest of their lives. Maybe God calls a proclaimer as a one-off. Maybe God calls a proclaimer and everyone knows their name. Maybe God calls a proclaimer and they say, "Someone said that this is the word of the Lord. I can't remember their name." But it doesn't matter. A prophet is a proclaimer. Let's see if I can get you on the screen here. Proclaimer. A prophet brings a message from God. A prophet could be a long or short tenure. But where do prophets come from? What do you think? From God. Is that what someone's saying? A prophet comes from God. So do you think God has a certain type of person that God calls to be a prophet? Is a prophet going to be, in our mind, a stereotypical person looks like this is a prophet because they look like a prophet? They answer to God. They respond to God. Okay, I'm going to dig over that one a little bit in a moment. But so there is no stereotype for a prophet from God. It's someone who receives the word of the Lord, and what's the number one? Who proclaims? A proclaimer. Let me ask you a little bit of since we're just into Sabbath afternoon, a little Sabbath afternoon quiz. Few of the prophets. Do you know what Amos and Elisha did as a job before they got into prophecy?
Amos was a trader, like a trader.
Yeah, he was a And Elisha. Yeah, these two people were sheep breeders, traders, farmers, and so on. So, is that going to be our stereotype for what a prophet looks like? A stereotype prophet must be a sheep breeder. Goes to the animal market every Thursday and trades on sheep. What about Abraham? Was Abraham, let me get this right, does Abraham fall in these categories so far?
No.
Was Abraham a proclaimer? Did he get a message from God that he was telling other people?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what Abraham was? He was rich. Who said that? That was very quick and loud. No sense of jealousy there. He was rich. Yeah, he was very well off. God blessed him very well. I was interested to read at least what other peoples called Abraham. You see, when his wife had died, the people of the land at the time, you can read this in Genesis chapter 23, they actually call Abraham a prince. So, well, whether he really was princely or whatever, they recognized him or treated him as though he was royalty. So when God calls people to be proclaimers, he might call someone who is a shepherd, a sheep farmer, he might even call someone who's of royalty. Ezekiel. Anyone know what Ezekiel did? What his job was? Ezekiel was a priest. The reason that I'm just handpicking some of these characters is there seems to be no rhyme or reason other than God saying, I have a message and I want you to be my mouthpiece. Doesn't matter who they were, what kind of social status they were at. Anything else about a characteristic of a prophet, a proclaimer? What about someone's age? Samuel? Anyone? How old was Samuel? Well, we don't know exactly, but he was a young boy. And he was being looked after by his adopted dad, who was the priest in the temple. And through a long story short, eventually Eli realizes, oh, okay, God's trying to talk to this young boy. So when you hear that voice next, then say, speak, Lord, for I'm listening. And then what does Eli say to him? Afterwards, Eli's chomping at the bit. And he's, come on, Samuel, come on, little boy. Tell me what God says. Was Samuel a proclaimer? And did Samuel say, this is the word of the Lord? Yeah. But it wasn't good news for Eli. But reading the story, I kind of figure that he realized that anyway. That's another story, another sermon. So we could have people from any different kind of social background. We could have young people. And could I get you to turn to 2 Kings? So 2 Kings and chapter 22. There's some funny long words here and unusual names that we don't often call our kids nowadays, but Hilkiah the priest, Ahakim, Akbo, Shaphan, and Asiah went to speak to the... What does it say in your Bibles next? Went to speak to the prophetess, Huldah, who was the wife of blah, 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 blah. Does God have a definition of a prophet to be just a male? No. A prophet, prophetess, could be male, female, could be of any social status. It could be young, could be very much older. I've already said about Daniel. Daniel was prophesying for at least 70 years, and he was probably 10 or 20 when he was starting, when he was taken away as a younger man. Doesn't matter about age or gender or your social background. When God calls you, God calls you because he has a specific purpose. He wants you to be his mouthpiece. Anything else? I don't want to labour these points, but God even calls, amazing story really, Balaam. Anyone that might know the story of Balaam? Balaam was a prophet for hire. Balaam went round and says, if you slip me a few quid, I'll tell you what you want to hear. And I'll make it out as though this is the word of the Lord. And he made a bit of a business out of it. And it wasn't the right thing to do, but even God went to Balaam and says, you don't do the right thing, but let me tell you really, this is my message. And Balaam had a message to tell other people. He was hesitant and reluctant and maybe unruly. Even Saul did at times get direct messages from God in directing him and his life and his people. So God can call people of different social status, different genders, different ages, even those people that are reluctant to be his mouthpiece. God still calls them. So prophets are proclaimers. They have a message from God. They can be called as a one-off or maybe over many years. It could be anyone, any person whatsoever. And then we get to situations like Jeremiah. I want to get you to turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 11. Because maybe at this stage we're thinking, okay, I could be ready to be a prophet if God so chose. Yeah, I fall in all the categories so far, because it could be anyone. So if we look at Jeremiah and chapter 11, let me see if you'd like to be a prophet after we read this verse. Jeremiah chapter 11 and verse 21. Says, therefore, this is what the Lord says about the men of Anahoth, who are seeking your life and saying, do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, or you will die by our hands. So there's a bigger, longer story there, but I hope you get the message. Was Jeremiah being threatened? Yes. What kind of threats did Jeremiah have? If you keep prophesying like this, Jeremiah, we'll slash your tires. If you keep prophesying like this, we'll come and knock on your door and send you hate mail. No? What kind of threats did Jeremiah have?
You'll die.
So a prophet is a proclaimer. A prophet has a message from God. Prophet could be of long and short tenure. A prophet could be of any kind of background. A prophet could be someone who is threatened. Let me pause there. Hands up anyone who's ready to be a prophet. I mean, if prophecy might involve that, come on, God, you've given me this message, you want me to proclaim it, and now you're making it difficult because people are going to come after me and people are going to threaten me, even to threaten me with my life. Prophets could be anyone. Prophets were called into difficult situations. Prophets would be proclaimers sometimes of things that were new. So, does anyone think of Noah as a prophet? Yeah. Was Noah proclaiming something? Did Noah say, this is the word of the Lord? Yeah. Noah was proclaiming even longer than Daniel, wasn't he? 120 years, wasn't he, that he was taking time to build a boat? Because this is what God said. And that's a long time to have a preaching sermon series, but 120 years anyway, he was on and on and on, building his boat and proclaiming, this is what God has told me about. And even though people were jeering and laughing at him, he still stood up and made that proclamation. But it was a new bit of information. This is new to you. I'm going to tell you that this is what God is telling me to tell you. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, are all of these people proclaimers? Are they all prophets? Yes. Do they all bring something new? Yes. This is what God has told me to tell you about. So sometimes prophets brought some new news. But sometimes, whoops, I've pushed the wrong button. Do I push that again? There we go. They were persecuted or killed. Sometimes it's a new word. Or sometimes prophets were sent by God as a reminder. Prophets were proclaimers of something new or something to remind you of. What kind of prophets do we have that we could list of reminders? You know, prophets would write or say, "This is the judgment of the Lord." It wasn't new, they were there to remind you. God's already told you this, but this was your behavior and this was your response. So this is what's going to happen next. But while there was this judgmental reminder, the consequential proclamation from the prophet, very often that judgment also came with some good news. Judgment would also often come with a reference of salvation. There was an accusation, an announcement, this is what you've done, so this is what's going to happen next. But God still loves you. God still has a plan for you. You are still his people. And this is what will happen next. There will be a divine intervention. So as we read prophecy, we need to recognize that there is a proclamation, there is a word from God, could come from anyone. And while there may be sometimes even new proclamations, we need to take them into the context of what has gone before. But often, as we read in Scripture, there is a proclamation about judgment, but that isn't the end of the story. The good news about prophecy is there is good news. That God is going to sort it all out. Despite our wandering away, despite God saying, this is really the way that I want you to respond and behave. And then if we wander away, then God has to come to us through a prophet and say, look, you've made a mistake, and these are going to be the consequences, but I still have a plan for you. I still love you. Prophecy be found throughout Scripture in the Old and New Testaments. And in fact, in the New Testament, it's part of a list of the spiritual gifts that God gives his people, us. To some, he wants to give one gift, to another gift. But prophecy features in those gifts. So what is prophecy? Prophecy is a proclamation of the word of the Lord. Sometimes it's going to be difficult. Sometimes it maybe sounds as though it's judgmental. But the good news is God has a plan to sort out all of these problems that we've got ourselves in. So we look at Amos chapter 3. I'm only going to give reference to this. There is this comment. Listen to this message that the Lord has spoken against you. There is a proclamation. These are the words of the Lord. And then we get all of these similes with lions and so on. And then we get this reference in verse 7. The Lord never does anything until he reveals his plans to his servants, the prophets. God won't do anything until he has revealed his plans to us. So, my Sabbath afternoon question for you, as we share some food in a few minutes, or you go your own merry way, what has God revealed to us? What has God revealed to us that demands a response from us now? Because things might be about something in the future, but it also demands a response from us now. Prophets proclaim on behalf of God. This can be instructions, or it could be a rebuke, but God only acts after he's given us a chance to respond. Why does God do it like that? Because God isn't there to catch us out. God wants us to be winners. He's cheering us on. And just to link back to a previous sermon that I spoke last time, our only purpose is something that we need to consider, because God's only purpose was to come to this earth because he loves you so much. And if God's only purpose is you, maybe your only purpose should be God.